think it's true. Fatherless, illegitimate child. Who am I? Amen. I want to read you a story about another man that God showed his grace on, undeserving, wicked man. Look at Luke chapter 8, start with verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he had went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, who wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion, because many devils were entered into him." Legion means 1,000. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer or allow, that's an old English word, suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Look at this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means that was possessed by the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Amen. The old story of the Gadarene maniac. Now, if you'll listen to me for just a few minutes. Now, if you just sit there and listen, turn off your phones, hang up your iPads or whatever distracts you, and look up here. You young people, too, I'd rather get you now before you end up in the graveyard, okay? And before you hurt yourself. If you'll listen, we can help you before you hurt yourself. Now, you can get help after you hurt yourself, but if you'll listen, we can save you a whole lot of hurt. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to sanctify the message today, okay? Amen. I don't have to rehearse this story much. It was pretty plain. But my question would be is, how did this man get this way? How did a man end up so tormented within himself that he took on 1,000 demons? How did a man get so low down that he would sleep in a graveyard? In the tomb, not what we think of a graveyard. If you remember, Jesus' tomb was a hewn out rock. It was a cave. This man wasn't sleeping on top of graves. He was sleeping in the graves with the dead people. And then that wasn't bad enough. The demons were tormenting himself. And he was naked. They couldn't even keep clothes on him. By the way, that's a good sign you ought to keep clothes on right there. He was naked and running around naked. And do you think he took a bath? I'm certain he didn't. He's filthy and vile. And the hair and the beard and the filth. And then if that wasn't bad enough, they drove him to cut himself. To cut himself. And thinking that that would give him a little relief. They tell me there's teenagers now that are sitting around with razors and cut themselves. Could that be they got a demon? Sounds like it, doesn't it? Sounds like they need deliverance. Amen? Now, don't you think that all these stories in the Bible are past or were just myths? This is a real story about a real man. And by the way, it's still really happening. People are still being demon-possessed. People are still being tormented. And there's a lot of things going around now about like this man, but I thought I'd name it this, how Jesus set the Gadarene maniac free, or how we could be set free. Now, there's a lot of things going on nowadays. We all require what's called, they call it recovery now. Well, this man didn't have anything to be recovered from. He needed to be redeemed. Yes. But at some time in life, we all get messed up and we all get in places we ought not be and we all get in trouble. And so today I just kind of want to help you, maybe by this story, you could get set free. Or maybe you get somebody else set free. And the day that you're born again, you get set free. Amen? And then in your Christian life, at times in your Christian life, things grab you and they put chains on him. Couldn't even hold him down. The chains would break him. And we get chains on us in this old life. We have to get set free. We got to go back to the Savior. Well, the first thing we need to know is, what do we need to be set free from? Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 21. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for the sake of time. I find then a law, this is Apostle Paul speaking about himself, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. That's these things right here. Warring against the law of my mind. I know what's right. I know what God wants. But this old body, I'm fighting this thing. You ever felt that way? Amen. We've all felt that way. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. In other words, we're born sinners. And the law of sin is this. We're going to sin. We're going to rebel against God. We're going to go against that which is good and go for that which is not. That's the law of sin. We're born that way. It's been that way ever since Adam and Eve, first child on, and we've inherited that. We had our grandbabies, two of them, for last night and yesterday, and I told Sunday school, I'm so tired I can't hardly stand it. But I can see it in them. You ever look at your grandkids and say, you little sinner? I'm going to beat you. I just want to whip you. But you don't do it, but you want to, don't you? I mean, it ain't Grandpa's job to whip them, though it comes awful close. But you see that law of sin in them. You see it in your own children. And you pray and say, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, there's nothing you can do. God's going to have to be setting them free from that, see? And he says this, look, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The body of this death meaning the wages of sin is death. Well, wait a minute. The next verse tells the gift of God. The next verse, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, look, we can get bound by things. But it's the flesh that took us there. And what we need to do is get delivered from that law of sin and that law of the flesh. A lot of people have all kinds of things. I thought about it. Everybody needs help somewhere. Everybody does. Maybe it's overworking. I don't know about many of those anymore. But maybe it's overworking. Maybe it's overeating. Alcohol. Drugs. Overspending. Grief. Guilt. Anger. Rage. Fear, anxiety, divorce, abuse, sexual addictions, insecurity, codependency, hurtful relationships, gambling, lying, stealing, the need to control everybody else, or bad past, and the list just goes on and on, because we all war with that law of sin, and at some time we need deliverance. Amen? We need to be set free. Now, the first step to freedom is this. Number one, you got to realize what's wrong with you. I remember I went to the doctor one time, and I went home. My wife, she told me what the chiropractor said, and I didn't do what my doctor said. So later on, I go back to my doctor. I got the same ailment. And I said, well, he said, you do what I said? I said, no, doc. My wife told me that her chiropractor said do this, and it just don't work. He said, well, then I'm done here. I said, what? He said, you need to go talk to your wife. She's your doctor. I'm not. I said, no, it's the chiropractor. He said, well, then go back to him. Because you wouldn't be here today if you'd done what I told you to do. Amen. But so we've got to realize what the problem is. Number one, Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon only you. No. All men. For all have sinned. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the first step to freedom is, you got to realize you got a problem. You got to realize, I'm not God. I can't fix this. I'm powerless. I can't control my tendency. I can't control my life. My life is unmanageable. I need a deliverer. Is this still on? Is this on? Just wondering if you're still there. Now, here's what happens if you don't. If you don't take that first step. By the way, the Gadarene maniac come running to him. He didn't run to the Gadarene maniac. The man realized, even with all those devils in him, he knew he needed some help. And he ran to the Savior and fell at his feet. So the first thing you've got to do in order to get deliverance from anything and to be set free from anything, you've got to admit you can't control it, and you got to stop trying to control it. Here's some things you can't control. Genesis 3:10. You don't have to turn there, but if you can, if you want to. Genesis 3:10, I thought about this. We're studying in Genesis this past Wednesday, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and there it is again, because I was naked, and I hid myself. So the first thing I've got to do when I realize what's wrong with me and quit trying to control it myself, I have to fear what's wrong with me. You got to fear what God's going to do because of what's wrong with you. Now, you don't have to fear the drugs. That's an inanimate object. It sits on the shelf. It don't bother you unless you pop it in, or the alcohol, or whatever else the problem may be. It's harmless unless you go by your sin nature and do it. Now, that's when the fear ought to come. And you don't have to be afraid of that stuff. You got to be afraid of what God says is going to happen if you do that. Romans chapter 7, you need to get frustrated. You need to get like the Apostle Paul and say, oh, wretched man that I am, oh, wretched woman that I am, what am I going to do? You need to get frustrated. When we're bound up with stuff, it ought to frustrate us because we can't control it, and God hates what we're doing. Then I thought about this, Psalm 32, real quick. Psalm 32, verse 4 and 5, he says this, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. But look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So number one, you fear what's going to happen. Number two, you get frustrated because of what's going to happen. But you're going to finally have to get tired of it. He said, day and night, day and night, day and night. Don't you ever get tired of it? Don't you ever get tired of it? Go find that drunk living out there in the woods somewhere and look at him and say, don't you ever get tired of that? Look at that rebellious child who's always mad and upset and ill and they're not happy. Just look at him and say, don't you ever get tired of being like this? That man was tired of sleeping with the bones. He was tired of cutting himself. He was tired of being driven to do things that would hurt his own self by that legion of devils. He was frustrated and tired of it. And then Proverbs 28, verse 13, you need to think about this. This is first steps, okay? Proverbs 28:13, he said this, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have what? Mercy. Maybe you don't have any problems. Maybe going to East Coast University or whatever they call that, Carolina Coast or whatever they call them coast things down there now. Maybe they don't have problems down there. Maybe they don't have them in Plum Out Yonder, wherever you live. Maybe they don't have them down there. Maybe your kids don't have problems. Maybe your husband and wife don't. But I'm going to tell you something. Most people have these problems. But their main problem is they don't know where to take their problem.
Amen.
So here's the cure. The first step to recognizing the cause and admitting it. Well, my marriage is a mess because. Well, my kids are bad because. Well, I'm bad. Because admitting something means this. I had to write it down and remember it. I know I am powerless to change the way I am. I know I am powerless to control myself. You ever feel that way? Paul did. I know I'm powerless to live the way I'm living. This is not going to end well. Not going to end well. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen. What you got to do, number one, you got to admit you need help. Then you got to recognize how you're going to get help. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Look at it. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now here it is. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now first you gotta submit to God. And that's what this man did. Look at him. Nasty, filthy, vile, ungodly man. But he saw he needed a Savior, and the first thing he did was run to the Savior. Then after God cleaned him up, then he resisted the devil from going back. You gotta admit you need help. And then you got to earnestly believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Sometimes I walk around here and I say, God, I got to be the sorriest preacher ever lived. I got to be the sorriest husband. I got to be the sorriest father. I got to be the sorriest grandfather. Because look, sometimes we need to look at ourselves that way. We're not going to get anything fixed until we admit something's wrong with us. And then we draw nigh to God.
Yes.
Then He'll draw nigh to us. Then He can set us free.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:6 says this, the last part of that verse. He says this, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to earnestly, with all our heart, believe that God is, number one.
Amen.
And by the way, my recovery friends, it's not a chair. and it's not the moon and the sun and the stars. God is a person. Amen. Jesus Christ. You know, they teach in those programs, you know, higher power. Well, there's only one higher power. Right. His name's Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you got to earnestly believe that you matter to Him. Right. You matter to Him, for God so loved the world. That's everybody. Amen. That He gave His only begotten Son. Everybody matters to God. Now that guy living in tombs didn't matter to those people in that town anymore. Right. They done wrote him off. We're finished with him. Matter of fact, we're going to go chain him up so we don't even have to look at him running around out there naked and hollering and going on. And they chain him up and he'd break the chains. Superhuman strength. But they've written him off. They were done. So when he goes back into town telling what great thing Jesus had done for him, they came out scared to death. Who could fix this? And you know, the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. You can't be too bad for the grace of God. Amen. Now, here's some things you got to realize that He has the power to help us, whatever it might be. There's three parts of that I was thinking. Number one, Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Number one, if you don't believe there's a God, you ain't got no help. You're not going to get any help. You're going to die lost and pitiful and tragic. Amen? But if you believe there's a God in heaven, then how could you? Romans chapter 1 said, even the heavens declare the glory of God. Walk outside and look up there, get out from under the street lights, and you say, that's no accident, and neither am I. And if God cares about them, He cares about me. Amen? You've got to acknowledge that. You got to tell God, God, I do believe in You. I do want to know You. I do want to be right. I just don't know how. And then in Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth; He sends His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And look, I don't know about you, but Luke 18:27 was a good one for me. He said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." I'm sure a lot of men looked at me and you and said, "What a mess! There ain't no help for that." Come on. You don't have no halo on. Don't be acting like it ain't never nothing been wrong with you. Amen. But other people, when they looked at us and saw no hope, God looked at us and said, I'm going to show you some hope. Amen. Amen. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to do, because I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. Amen. Well, what's sad, Brother Holroyd, that we have to get in the graveyard before we look up. So you got to understand His character. He does love you, but He hates sin. Yes. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God hates sin. He's holy. He's pure. He's perfect. He's undefiled. Sin cannot be in His presence. God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. Yes. Think about that. He loves the sinner. There were two sinners on the cross beside Him and one on each side. And one of them finally turned to Him and asked for mercy. And God saved that sinner on his last day, his last hour. He saved him. Amen? It ain't never too late. Who knows how long this gathering maniac surely wouldn't live much longer. Not the way he's living. A lot of you people probably looked at you and said they're going to an early grave. There's a short life right there. But God looked down and you looked up and He fixed it. Amen? Ain't that so simple? You don't have to go through 25 steps. You ain't got to go through 12. You don't have to go through 3. Just look and live. That's all you got to do. Look and live. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you'll look to Him, you'll live. You'll get delivered. And then what you got to do, though, here's the problem. If you will, look, here's the problem. I'm going to read it to you, just to save time. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now that's what we all want, but not many will accept it. Not many will accept it. That's what everybody wants. That's what we all want. But you got to call to get it. Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me. And I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. But a lot of people want it, but they won't ask for it. Drugs, alcohol, perversion, sexual perversion, all these things, they're not going to send near as many people to hell as sinful pride will. You ever heard anybody say this? I got this. I got this. I'm going to do all right, preacher. Me and the man upstairs, we got a deal. No, you're going to die and go to hell, and you'll probably go quicker than you think you will because you got this. Amen. Amen. Now, look, this gathering maniac, I imagine he done went through the got this stuff and found out it didn't work. I imagine he probably had a wife and kids back home. They knew it didn't work. And can you imagine that day when Jesus stepped off that boat onto that land and he saw the face of Jesus and he saw the power of God and the glory of God and the peace of God and the love of God and the holiness of God all in one package. And I guarantee he said, I ain't got this, but he'll get it. And he ran down there and fell at his feet. And Jesus didn't say, go home, pay your bills, and come back. He didn't say, go get your hair cut and shave and take you a bath and put some clothes on. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, cast these demons out of me. And he said, okay. And the demons said, but let's go in those pigs over there. They want to inhabit something, 1,000 of them. There was a herd of pigs. And as soon as they went in those pigs, the pigs wasn't smart as this man. They couldn't resist like man can. They ran down the hill and committed suicide. They went down in the water and drowned. And a lot of people committing suicide because they think they got this. Their sinful pride's killing them. And they don't, hey, they won't admit they got a problem. Well, I got news for you. We've all got a problem. It's called sin. Some of us dress it up better. Some of us hide it better. Some of us use bigger words for it, but I guarantee you still the wages of sin is death. There's no way out of it. And unless you get a redeemer, you in big trouble, buddy. I remember that day Eastside Baptist Church, 6th pew on the left-hand side, about 12:15 to 300 verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. I'm standing there holding on the back of that pew and crying like a little old baby, 23 years old. And God, the Holy Ghost, said, look, you need some deliverance. You need saving. And I said, Lord, I can't go down there. People talk about me. And he said, well, I'm the one talking right now. You need to come down here. And I said, Lord, if you'll move my foot, if you'll just move that foot, I'll go down there. And I found myself stepping out. And I was going down that aisle, and I was weeping and crying. And I didn't care what people thought anymore. I didn't care what the preacher thought. I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew, he said, if I'd get to Jesus, that he'd deliver me and he'd save me. And the weight of sin was just, I felt like that demoniac. The chains were falling off. Amen. And the bugs and everything else I've been sleeping with. And I was coming out of the graveyard into the light. Amen. And, hey, I was saved before I ever got down there. I didn't know it. I stepped out by faith knowing I wanted to be saved. And listen, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says you got to pray and be saved. Just believe and be saved. Now, of course, we ask him to save us, whosoever shall call. But I was calling on him before I ever got down there. I didn't know the words to say. I didn't know what the virgin birth was. I didn't know what the resurrection was. I didn't know what the second coming of Christ was. I didn't know what holiness was. All I knew is I was a sinner going to hell. If I didn't get saved that day, I was going to be like that Gadarene maniac, and I was going to end my life early like a lot of my friends ended theirs early, and I was going to die and go to hell. Boy, I got down there. I could feel the love of God. I could feel it. Don't you think this man felt the love of God? Billy, don't you think he felt that pure holiness and that cleanness whenever he got to Jesus? Don't you feel the man felt that holiness and that cleanness? I never felt so clean in my life. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Amen. And that day I got down there and that man took me in this little room and he took me through some scriptures. Admit you a sinner, believe on Christ, confess it with your mouth. Well, I'd already done every bit of that and didn't know it walking down that aisle. And then whenever I stepped in there and he said, you believe that? I said, the best way I know how. He said, do you believe it enough to call on him and ask him? I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, if I tell you what to pray, will you pray? I said, I sure will. Now, he could have told me I had to stand on my head to pray. I'd have done it. He could have told me I had to say it backwards. I'd have tried it. Amen? Because I wanted to be redeemed. And I prayed. When I got through praying, the peace of God came in. The peace of God. And he took me out there and old Bully Fogenberry, a good-sized man, he put his arms around me and I was crying. He stopped everybody. He said, son, what'd you do? I asked the Lord to save me. He said, did he? I said, yeah, he did. He said, how you know? I said, I feel it. He said, that ain't it. He said, it feels good right now. But wait till this afternoon when the devil tells you made a fool out of yourself and other people will tell you made a fool out of yourself. It ain't gonna feel very good, but did he say he would save you if you ask him? I said, yes, he did. He said, did you ask him? I said, yes, I did. He said, then what does that make you? I said, saved. He said, where are you going if you die? I said, I'm going to heaven. He said, how do you know? I said, because the Bible said so. Now that old Gadarene maniac had no idea how the power of God did that. He didn't see a needle or medication or a doctor's mask. All he saw was a filthy, vile, wretched sinner laying on the ground and getting up pure and perfect, white as snow, heart washed, soul washed, brain washed, inside. And guess what? I got a good idea. When he went back to town, he had some clothes on. It ain't hard to tell who don't wear clothes and who does. And he got back in town. And can you imagine what they saw, Brother David, when they saw that man? They said, I think.
Praise God.
That's him. Look at that guy. Can you? Something happened.
Right.
Something happened. I don't know. Maybe he went to rehab. He did. 1 minute rehab. 1 minute, that's all it took. Amen. And he went back in there and clothed and in his right mind. You know, most lost people are not in their right mind. If they were, they turned to Jesus. But they saw that. And do you know what happened? Same thing that happened whenever that happened to us. We went back to old friends. They thought, I went back to work down there at the cotton mill, industrial mill, blue dye, all that day. And old man looked at me and said, boy, there's something different about you. What's done happened to you? A dirty old man. Had all the dirty jokes. Oh, near death. But yeah, hey, I always laughed at his jokes. Boy, he told him this time I didn't laugh. He said, what happened? I said, I don't know. I said, I went down there at that church and that preacher preached about Jesus and after a while I couldn't take it no more. I just went down there and asked him to save me and this is how I come out. Took me 2 weeks to tell my friends they knew something was wrong with me, but I couldn't explain it. Can you imagine the Gadarene maniac going back in town? They said, what'd you do? I don't know. What kind of medicine give you? I don't know. All I know is I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. Well, preacher, can you explain that? No. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It's the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the keeping power of God. All that's Him. Here's what happens when you get saved. They'll find you sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in your right mind. did you know that he had put on the mind of Christ, though he didn't know what it was? Did you know he had put off the works of darkness, though he couldn't explain that? Or would you rather keep living in the graveyard? Would you rather stay defeated? Would you rather stay depressed and on your way to hell? Is that the way you like to live? And you call us crazy? You like to hurt all the time? You like to be sad all the time? Is that the way you're miserable and don't know it? He was, didn't know it till Jesus showed up. Now, if you'll let him in, I guarantee you he will deliver you. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to fail or fall again, but I'm going to say this. He'll clothe you in his righteousness, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. But he's not going to make you do it. Do you think Jesus landed that boat in that spot and stepped off of it? And when that man come running out, he said, "Uh-oh, I didn't know he was here." No, sir, he knew that man was there. That's why he stopped there. He knew. How old do you think he come down to your house and said, "Oh, I didn't know this guy lived here"? He knew you was crazy. He knew where you lived. He knew you needed a renewal. Now I'm going to ask you, Dave, what do you need? You write the prescription, he'll fill it. Let's stand. Maybe